22 games, however, San Francisco is 3-0 against the Rams and 0-19 against everyone else. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett working out of practice, including jogging on his injured ankle. Coach Hugh Jackson says he'll make a decision Friday on if Garrett will play against the Colts. Major League Baseball on high alert after a young child was hit by a line drive in Wednesday's Yankees-Twins game. Commissioner Rob Manfred saying in part that the league is redoubling down its efforts on the issue. The Reds plan to install additional netting next season. Indians and the Angels, Edwin Encarnacion, Francisco Lindor, each with home runs. Indians 4-1 on the Angels now in the top half of the ninth inning. Cleveland a game and a half back of the Astros for the AL's best record. Dodgers end a four-game slide with a 5-4 win over the Phillies. Their magic number down to one to clinch the NL West. Bottom of the hour on ESPN Radio, coverage of the Cubs and Brewers game one of a four-game set.
SportsCenter is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at JCP.com. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. This is the right time.
Napa Know How.
If you've ever come close to leaving an entire counter full of items at checkout just because someone asked you to join a rewards program, we feel your pain. Luckily, there's Napa Rewards. Joining is easy, and if you can simply remember your phone number, you can get $5 back on your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So join Napa Rewards today and start saving money with every purchase. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
Guys, hurry into JCPenney for the men's wardrobe sale and save 50% on select suits, separates, sport coats, dress pants, and more, including big and tall. Check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at JCP.com. Plus, stack on the savings and get your coupon on the JCPenney app to save an extra 15%. Hurry, and soon, that's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 922 to 924. Some exclusions apply. See store at JCP.com for details.
Bell's ready to roll into the Truck Series playoffs.
I want to be that guy that you have to race for the championship.
But there's a catch. I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
There are a few things in life you can always count on. Your toast will fall jam side down.
Oh, man.
It'll sprinkle just after you wash the car.
Seriously?
You'll fall sick on your day off.
Of course.
And the biggest one, you'll get a flat tire at the worst possible time. But there is something else that you can always count on. Fix-A-Flat. Fix-A-Flat is the quickest, easiest, and affordable way to get off the side of the road safely when a flat tire happens. Found in the yellow can, Fix-A-Flat is the trusted household name that people have been relying on for nearly 50 years. Count on Fix-A-Flat. Just connect, inflate, and go.
Before the winner's circle, before the engines start, the chase for the checkered flag begins in the garage. Follow Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, and Casey Kane in a groundbreaking new series that goes behind the scenes with Hendrick Motorsports. Road to Race Day is now streaming on go90.show/MRN. That's go90.show/MRN.
New Hampshire Motor Speedway officials plan to use that same sticky substance in the turns this weekend that added grip for the Cup Series back in July. Christopher Bell is set to open the Camping World Truck Series playoffs there Saturday, where the Kyle Busch Motorsports driver will be the top seed after winning four times this season.
If it's used correctly, I really like it. I'll be curious to see how it works out here, where they apply it, how it reacts to the pavement, how the tires react to it. Loudoun is a place that could definitely use it to get multiple grooves. Hopefully it's used properly and we'll get some good racing.
Track officials plan to apply the PJ1 substance tonight and again Saturday night for Sunday's Cup race. Our live coverage of the truck race starts at 12:30 Eastern Time Saturday afternoon. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
606-604, something like that. Welcome back. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, the third and final hour for a Thursday as we continue to count down until kickoff at Kinnick Stadium Saturday night between Iowa and Penn State. Iowa State not in action this week. They've got another couple days to get ready for that Thursday night showdown at Jack Trice Stadium with the Texas Longhorns. Fresh off a 41-14 drubbing of the Akron Zips over the weekend, we bring our main man on board, Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com. Brent, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How about you guys?
We are good here in Eastern Iowa. What did we find out about Iowa State from this Akron game last weekend?
I think what you found out is that's what a Big 12 team should do to a middle-of-the-road MAC team. And Iowa State was pretty much dominant, except for probably a 10-minute period in the second quarter. But Iowa State was good up front. They were good in the offense and the defensive lines. Their skill guys were better than Akron, and they beat them by four touchdowns like they should have. And it was just, it wasn't pretty at all times, but it was just workmanlike and kind of what you expected going into a sleepy stadium on a Saturday morning. But Iowa State did what it had to do, and it obviously sets up a big contest next week.
Brent, I asked you last week about the fan base kind of balancing the clear improvement that was made with the fact that they lost a close game to Iowa. After this game against Akron, Matt Campbell comes out in his post-game press conference and made it clear that he was not really happy overall with the performance despite a 41-14 victory over Akron. Is that refreshing to hear a coach come out despite a 41-14 victory and say, you know what, those lapses, those 10-minute lapses like you mentioned are not good enough?
Yeah, no question, because when you get into the Big 12, if you have a lapse like that, you're going to lose because you'll give up instead of just 10 points like they gave up to Akron. You'll give up, you know, 21, and you're behind the eight ball, and you're in a track meet, and it's tough to come back. And it's weird for Iowa State fans. It's a different position that they're used to because, you know, they're happy with a four-touchdown win, but there are some details. And Matt Campbell, you know, it's fun to joke about, but the process and the details and all that stuff. And I think he knows his team's pretty good this year. But if they want to compete to be in the middle of the Big 12 or even the upper half of the Big 12, they cannot have those lapses where, you know, they give up an easy touchdown here or there and expect to win some of those games, because the Big 12 on the top, at least, is really good. And so for Iowa State to make a bowl game, which is the goal, and maybe even exceed that, then they have to be good for 60 minutes. And, you know, if they're in a Big 12 game in that second quarter, I think they may, you know, if it's Texas Tech or Oklahoma State, all of a sudden, your 14-0 lead is 21-14 the other way, and then you're in trouble.
Brent Bloom joining us here talking a little Cyclone football again. They are off this week. Get ready for Texas in the Big 12 opener next weekend. Joel Lanning picked up his first career sack over the weekend. How much better is he now than he was when he first made the move?
Tremendously better, and he's gotten so much better since week one. I was talking to a pal of mine, Jeff Woody, who played for Iowa State, of course, and he said when he played against you and I, Lanning, that is, he was probably a below-average linebacker, and now he's probably above average. So he's made a lot of growth in 2 weeks, and it's just knowing where to be more than anything. We've always known Joel's a good athlete. I mean, he's a big kid, 230 pounds. He can run really well, but it's about knowing where to be, and you get into that live action, and you saw it where Iowa really exposed him, and they did it on purpose, where they tried to match up him and Wadley won. And that's obviously, Iowa State's not going to see probably any other player in the backfield better than Akron Wadley. So that was kind of a rude awakening. But Joel was so much better against Akron, was fitting better. And then he's also adjusted in the pass game as well. And you saw him get a sack, saw him get an interception, where he's now trying to figure out where he's supposed to be. And Joel, I think, is as the weeks go on, will continue to get better and better, and they'll need him to do that.
You mentioned Jeff Woody, and he had an article in the Des Moines Register about the growth of Jacob Park. What have you liked from what you've seen from the signal caller in the first three games of this season?
I think he's just your modern NFL quarterback. Where, I mean, I think you got to credit Jacob Park a lot for the fact that the offensive line's only given up one sack, because he gets the ball and he fires it, and he's good at adjusting. You know, if the first read's not there, he can check down to read two or three. And he's just been very efficient. If you look at his numbers, I think he's completing about 65% of his passes right now, but they've had 15 drops through 3 weeks. So if you take half those away, he's up over 70%, and his efficiency is off the charts. In fact, I saw a stat yesterday that his quarterback efficiency rating is right below Sam Darnold for USC. Now, I'm not comparing him to Darnold, but he's been very good, and if he has a few less drops, he could be in the top 15 of all college football quarterbacks right now. So way impressed with Jacob and that whole entire offense. I think they're going to be very solid all year.
Is there a little bit of concern with this team right now as far as the red zone offense? It seems they get down to the 20 and things sort of bog down for them a little.
Yeah, no question. And it'll be interesting to see what they do for that, because last year they were really good in the red zone, but they also had Joel Lanning at quarterback in that quarterback run game. And you saw it a couple times against Akron where Jacob Park took off running, and maybe they add that a little bit more into the arsenal. talked to Jacob after the game, and he said, you know, people don't think I'm a running quarterback, but I can run if I need to. So he's thought about that. Maybe he'll try and run a little bit more in there. But also, they're just not – they don't have the maulers up front. I mean, they're never going to be a team that can just get 3 yards whenever they want. So they have to adjust and figure out how to work best. But I think they'll get better in that. They just need to figure out what's the right recipe for the quarterback run game. And, you know, we saw Joe Lanning against you and I run the ball from the quarterback position. But from what I understand from the coaches, they're a little bit more hesitant to use him because he's just been way more gassed than they anticipated. So I don't know if you'll see Joel a whole lot in those run packages, but find a way to at least get the ball to Montgomery maybe. They used him in the Wildcat a couple times and get creative to get the ball in the end zone. Because field goals do not win games in the Big 12.
The defense got picked up 6 sacks against Akron on Saturday. Is this a unit that can be maybe even average in the Big 12 come conference play?
I think so. I think so. And that's been the most encouraging part to me is the performance of that front four. And, you know, Ray Lima doesn't have a lot of stats to his name, but he has been so disruptive. I think he's been the MVP of the defense, and he probably has, I think, less than 10 tackles in through 3 games, but he has just been disruptive. He can take on double teams and freeze up other guys, and you've now seen 6 sacks against Akron. They're in the top 20 in the nation in tackles for loss. They've just been really good at disruption, and I don't think Iowa State's a team that can sit back and just keep things in front of them like Paul Rose used to do. They're going to be aggressive in getting after teams and hopefully creating turnovers that way. And, you know, in the Big 12, it's a risk-reward system. You blitz in that league, and you're going to get burned, but you hope that the turnovers make up for it. And I think you'll see Iowa State continue to be aggressive because that's where they're best. And, you know, those linebackers aren't big, so they're best when they have one role, and that's attacking the quarterback. So I think you'll see Lanning and Harvey get after the quarterback more. That's those young guys progress on the D-line. They're only going to get better. So that's been very encouraging. And, yeah, I think the Big 12 is not a great defensive league anyway. There's a couple good teams, but I don't think there's any question Iowa State could be in the middle of the road there.
I've come up with a great plan to pay for college for my son. I'm setting $5 aside every time Tom Herman's name gets mentioned between now and kickoff against Texas. This is an interesting Big 12 opener for a number of reasons for the Cyclones, but it does mark the return of the former offensive coordinator to Ames.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because, you know, he'll be the main storyline for several reasons. And I think first and foremost is Texas is 1-2 coming to Ames. And so that'll get the national attention, but at least locally. And Tom Herman was the offensive coordinator for 3 years for Paul Rhodes when he first started. And quite frankly, most of the fan base was not disappointed when he left. So he has obviously elevated himself extremely well, going from Ohio State to Houston now to Texas, which is his dream job. And I think ultimately he'll be successful. I've always been a fan of Tom Herman, really smart guy, and he'll be the first to tell you he's pretty smart too. So he's got a little bit of cockiness to him, and that has rubbed some people in Ames the wrong way. In his opening press conference in Texas, he was talking about his experience at Iowa State. Basically said, you know, I can recruit to Austin because I recruited to Ames, Iowa, and, you know, basically saying that Ames isn't exactly a hotbed for people and recruits. So it rubs some people the wrong way. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of love lost there between the staffs, but it's certainly an opportunity on the football field for Iowa State to win a winnable football game. And they win that one on national TV on ESPN. And, you know, Texas will get the headlines if Texas loses, but that'd be a huge monumental win for Iowa State.
I can't figure out what Texas team is the real Texas team this season. The one that gave up 51 points to Maryland in week one, mm-hmm. or the one that really forced a lot of mistakes from Sam Darnold and Ronald Jones last week against USC. What have you seen from this Longhorn team so far this season?
Yeah, they've been interesting because I've watched both those games fully, and in the middle game, I think it was against San Jose, and it was just a joke, so I didn't really pay attention to that. But they've got some issues. Now, defensively, they've gotten better, but I don't know if that's a product of, you know, maybe USC isn't as good as we think either. I mean, they're fourth in the nation. I get it. But, I mean, Darnold hasn't been great, and their receivers are still a little young. So we'll see there. But I think Texas is got some quarterback questions. And they played the freshman Ehlinger against USC, and he performed well in the fourth quarter, really struggled through three quarters. And so is he a guy that Iowa State can get to and cause problems? And or do they go back to Bouchel, who played really well as a freshman last year for Texas? So it's really hard to get a read on them. Clearly, I've seen them in person for years now, and they look the part. I mean, they have athletes all over the field. It's not a question of talent. A lot of times for them, it's focus and discipline and maybe for them, Maryland really refocused their efforts that they can now get the ball rolling. And I think, you know, we won't know who's favored yet, but I would anticipate Texas being favored in that game just because of their performance that was pretty solid against USC. But I don't know. I do think if Iowa State plays well, I think talent-wise, at least at the skill positions, they're better in some spots than Texas, which is weird to say, but I think Iowa State legit has a legit chance here, and they're confident they could beat the Longhorns.
You never go wrong picking the guy at quarterback whose dad played third base for the Chicago Cubs. That's what I always say. Brent Bloom from Cyclone Fanatic joining us for just a few more minutes here on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. What does Iowa State need to do in order to win this game, in your opinion?
I think it just starts with controlling the line of scrimmage. And if you look at the game last year down in Austin, Texas had like 8 sacks, and they literally had no time and just complete disruption. And their D-line is really good, the Texas D-line, and they gave USC fits as well. So this is it's a big task for that offensive line. It's been really good at pass protection through 3 games, but you're seeing a different animal down there when the Longhorns come to town. So we'll see if they can hold up. If they do, and Park has time, I like Iowa State's matchups with some of their corners. Corners are still young for them. They're talented, but we'll see if Butler and Lazard and company can get some damage. It's going to be tough to run the ball again for Iowa State, but I think they can score. And I think this will be a high scoring game. I think it's a game in the 30s. It'll be great entertainment, and it could be a march to 40. See who gets there first, because I think this will have some fireworks next Thursday night.
Brent, what do you think about where this bye week is on the schedule this year? Is this coming at a good time for Iowa State?
Yeah, it's always tough to say. I mean, it's good in the sense that before a Thursday game, and they do that on purpose, of course, just to give the extra rest. But they got some guys dinged up, relatively healthy though. Some of the secondary has been nicked up. DeAndre Payne's been hurt. Maybe get Cotton Moya back, but he's still probably pretty questionable for Texas. He would help a lot. And they had a couple other corners that get dinged with minor injuries. But hopefully rest up, get those guys healthy, and focus for a big game. But you never know. I mean, Iowa State's playing well. Maybe you like to keep the momentum, but it's always impossible to know where that bye week stands. I do know it is going to be a gauntlet now when you have 9 straight Big 12 games without a break. So I expect this will be very difficult. And if Iowa State wants to make hay, they have to do it in the early portion of the Big 12 schedule, I think.
Before we part ways with you, let's talk a little basketball recruiting. What do you know about Tyrese Haliburton?
Yeah, good combo guard, has some good size, 6'4", 6'5", out of Wisconsin. And he's kind of going to that new breed of basketball, it's positionless. He's a combo, but they can play him at the 1. So I think Iowa State, if you look at their roster now, next year, I mean, you'll have a Wigginton who's a sophomore who can place a combo guard, and this Halliburton's a very talented guy, and they really like Lewis, and then, of course, Zion Griffin committed as well. So he's a good player, top 150 kid out of Oshkosh, and had some good offers, I think Minnesota, Illinois in there as well. So it's another good get for Steve Prohm, and I would anticipate he'll get 1 or 2 more before the end of the month, as there's a couple kids that I think are close to committing. And it'll only help bolster this class that's already in the top 25 for college basketball. So Steve Prohm continues to get it done, and recruiting momentum is going in a positive way.
What does Brent Bloom do during the bye week, out of curiosity?
I think I'm going to be a bum and probably watch that game in Iowa City. Heck, I might even go there. I think they can get a ticket, can't I?
Look at this. There are plenty of tickets available, and I've got a spare bedroom if you're serious about it. But enjoy the bye week, and we will touch base with you next week. Appreciate
it,
as always.
Good to talk to you guys. Thanks, Alex.
Brent Bloom, CycloneFanatic.com. Great, as always. We're going to step aside, take a quick break. More of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new MediaCom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
The Cedar Rapids Parks and Recreation Department proudly supports sports for preschool through high school students, with programs and facilities serving thousands of kids each year. This fall, take in the beauty of the season at a Cedar Rapids golf course. During September, you can play from 7 a.m. until dusk, and in October from 8 a.m. until dusk. And that's at all four Cedar Rapids golf courses, Twin Pines, Ellis, Jones, and Gardner. See special fall rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
You are in the driver's seat, in complete control, in life and on the road. Your driving record is impeccable, and for this, you are greatly rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive. You use your savings to buy a World's Best Driver t-shirt. It runs a little small.
The more righteous you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
6:21. Welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, spreading truth across eastern Iowa when it comes to fake news that C.J. Beathard will be the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. There are so many things wrong with the screen grab of the story that was sent to us by Adam on the text line. I don't know where to begin with this. It's been shared 62,951 times. The dateline on the story is for tomorrow. And as you read, it says a source close to the 49ers organization says Beathard will start Thursday night due to Hoyers, and there's no apostrophe after the R and S. Hoyers, bad performance. CJ, and the J is small, has became a fan favorite and will, W-E-comma-L-L, give the fans what they want. This is somebody who doesn't even speak or write in English. And this just goes to underscore how easily people are manipulated nowadays by seeing stuff on Facebook. And I know that, look, the 49ers quarterback situation is god-awful because their starting quarterback used to be a backup quarterback for the Chicago Bears, who are a god-awful football franchise in their own right. So you got a Bears backup quarterback as your starter. I get it. Things are bad. And you've got a section of the fan base that they want to believe that this story is true. And so they'll just share it. They'll click it. They'll share it like lemmings. I am seriously nervous about the future of this country. I really am. If people are that dumb that they get duped by something, and look, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I like to think that I am able to think critically about some things, or at least read with a critical eye. I don't
ask the tough questions.
I don't take anything that you put in front of me as the gospel. I'll look into virtually anything, and I see this, and click share. Or my favorite is, you'll see people commenting on stories on Facebook or on Twitter that either KCRG or another news outlet has shared, and they will make a comment that just clearly shows that they didn't read the story. Like, they'll ask a question that's answered in the story, or they'll make a comment about something that the story specifically addresses. And you go, how stupid do you have to be to wade into the water without at least finding out what temperature it is first?
Well, they only react to the headline and then don't realize that their question or their concern is usually addressed in the story. I see that all the time.
I grew up reading newspapers. I grew up watching the news at night. I know the state of things, and I know the echo chamber, and I know where we're at right now. But for the love of God, you have to be smarter about some of this stuff. And I get it. Look, And the local news outlets are guilty of this as well, because I follow all of them on Facebook and Twitter and everything, and they'll put a link up to a story with some salacious headline. And I'm thinking, good God, where? And I'll click on it, and it's a story from Alabama or North Carolina or something like that. And they're just doing it to get clicks. Because when you get clicks, then you can sell that to your advertisers. And I understand it's a business model. It's a really crappy one. And it's not going to go away. It's not going to change anytime soon. Because it's what the people feed off of. And if I sound like I'm a grumpy old man, and I'm just, my mind is blown by this. The date on the damn story is tomorrow. Friday, 22 September. This is some 16-year-old idiot over in Nambia who's writing the story. It's a deep cut from yesterday. It's 24 hours old. People have probably already moved on from that reference. Some 400-pound hacker in his mom's basement. That was the story, right? And it just, if you're intellectually curious enough to seek out information about this, there is a ton of stuff out there right now about Facebook and fake stories that influenced the election and Russia and all of this. And this is not me wading into political territory here. I want to be very clear about that. This is me talking about fake news. And I think the turning point is going to be the election last November, because, like I said, there's a ton of stuff out there right now about all these stories that were just baseless, and they get thrown out on Facebook, and what's, like, it's ingrained in people. Hit the share, hit like. And I just sit here and I go, come on, we're better than this. We got to be better than this.
It's gotten to the point where when I'm going through Facebook, and to, I guess, a lesser extent, Twitter, I don't click on things anymore. Because I've gotten to the point where I can tell by the headline or tell by the source that it's fake before I even read it. And sometimes I'm even passing on real stories because I think they might be fake. That's how bad it's gotten. Because, and like you said, a Facebook is the number one place where you see these stories getting shared by your friends, by people that you follow, whether it's an actor or an artist who may have gotten hacked or something like that. You see it all the time.
Can I tell you my favorite? And this is absolutely favorite, and it drives me bonkers, because after about the seventh time you see the story, you have to stop and think, okay, maybe somebody's pulling my chain here. But the Clint Eastwood is buying a house in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Harrison Ford is buying a house in Davenport, Iowa. And you click on it, and it's always, the celebrity was driving their car across the country or whatever, and they get a flat tire, and the people of insert town here were so nice that they just decided that they wanted to leave Hollywood behind, and they're going to buy a house in the city. And computers are smart, all right? They know where you live, and they'll automatically fill that information in, and then your crazy aunt shares it, and boom, it's viral. Okay, Calista Flockhart is not moving to Marion because she had a great cup of coffee there. And is she even a thing anymore? I thought I referenced her because, right, she's with Harrison Ford. She was with Harrison Ford.
I haven't watched my E yet lately, so
I've watched more public television in the last two nights than I think I've watched in the last 10 years. I'm not exactly proud of that, but that Ken Burns documentary is true. It just, I don't know what to do anymore, because if this is a battle, it's not being won anytime soon by the people with functioning brain cells.
My favorite is when you're shopping online. I was recently in the market for a new pair of shoes. And I was looking up a certain pair of Nike shoes. And I went to the site, and I didn't purchase the shoes. And then about half an hour later, I'm on Facebook, 75% off Nike shoes. And it just so turned out it was the exact same type of shoe that I was looking for. Isn't that amazing? Guess what? I clicked on the link. It was fake.
All of these...
They weren't selling off for 75% off. It wasn't happening.
And these t-shirts and stuff that you see pop up on Facebook that are, they're clearly not licensed. I shared one last night on my Twitter account.
I'm a Packers fan, but I'm a Hawkeye at heart.
Exactly. I may have been born in Wisconsin, but I'm a Hawkeye at heart. And it's an outline of the state of Wisconsin. It's got the Iowa logo on there. Iowa is not getting a dime. If you buy any of those shirts, Iowa is not getting a dime. And some hacker in China or Russia is getting your credit card information. And it's just... And I worry about this. Thank God my parents don't spend too much time online. But I think, man, you can get suckered into this. But it's not just, quote-unquote, old people. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening right now, but you are old. And I think you know that. It's not just old people. It's people who are in there. And it's actually the younger generation where it's worse because they've grown up and they don't know any better. They get their news from Twitter and Facebook. And they don't have that sort of, I guess, knowledge ingrained in them. Okay, do I stop and look at this? Is this from the New York Times? Or is this from a website I've never heard of before where the date is actually tomorrow? Because whether or not you think the New York Times is a reputable news source, and it still blows my mind that we live in a time and place where people automatically think everything that the New York Times puts out is fake news. But whether or not you think it's a reputable news source, that's beside the point. But I got to be careful talking about this stuff. I'm going to get fired. And just, it's freaking ridiculous. People out there think C.J. Beathard is the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers tonight in their game against the Rams. A game which you can hear right here on KGYM.
To the point where someone seemed legitimately upset that we hadn't brought up that C.J. Beathard was starting for the 49ers tonight.
And here's the deal. I hear something, the first person I go to is Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter or somebody reputable, Chris Mortensen, somebody like that. And I'm like, okay, nobody's talking about this. And normally when Thursday night, it's the only game in town. So everybody's got news on the Thursday night game. That's what nobody has this.
And this is the NFL.
This is the NFL, and this would be a change at starting quarterback. Okay, so that's the first red flag. The second red flag, and I guess this is where it really, really gets me, and I guess there's really no way to say this without coming off like an elitist. I can't say the word on the radio.
Meanie?
Sphincter. Let's put it that way. But it's so poorly written. That's
not elitist to say. That is
no, but it is because I understand that there are people out there who grammar is not their thing, and I'm willing to give a very wide berth to people who were not English majors. I wasn't an English major. I butcher English all the time. Okay,
here, can I read
I said
this?
The transitive property earlier today on the pick six, and Kyle jumped in and corrected me. Okay, but. This is like a fourth grader wrote this, and people are reading this, and the BS detector doesn't go off.
A source close to the 49ers, no apostrophe, the 49ers organization says Beathard will start Thursday night due to Hoyer's, like you said, no apostrophe, bad performance. CJ, lowercase j, has become a fan favorite.
Will
give the fans what they want.
62,951 shares.
Dateline Friday, the 22nd the game is of played, September.
The game is played September 21st, and the story was published Friday, September 22nd, which tells me everything I need to know because where is it Friday already? Mm-hmm. The other side of the globe. Mm-hmm. Which is my favorite. I saw a story not too long ago, and the story was about something that happened in Japan or China, something that's really not germane to the situation. And again, sometimes, because I am a masochist, I do read the comments online, and a woman jumped in and said, this is fake news, because the story said Friday, and it was Thursday. And people actually had to point out to her that it's Thursday here, but in another part of the world, the event occurred on Friday because of time zones. Okay, I probably turned off a bunch of people. I probably just alienated a ton of listeners, and I don't know what to do at this point, because I can't see this and not comment on it. Good God, that's where we're at. It's 2017, and thousands of people are duped by a fake story on Facebook that is written at... It's written, I think most fourth graders, if you put this in front of most fourth graders and said, find the grammatical mistakes in here, I think most fourth graders could do it.
My little sister's 8. She could probably point out most of the mistakes in this work, this piece.
And yet a good chunk of people, oh, wow, cool, CJ's the starter, share.
Why aren't you guys talking about
CJ Beathard being named the starter? I'm watching the game tonight. CJ's starting. Okay, have fun tuning into the game tonight and watching Brian Hoyer take that first snap. This is where I find out at 6:37 Brian Hoyer was hit by a bus or something on the way to the game, and it actually turns out it's going to be a true story. If CJ Beathard starts the game tonight, it sure as hell wasn't because this person had the scoop. Maybe ESPN should be hiring whoever it is in Russia who's writing these stories. They've got better sources than John Clayton. Do I want to look at the text line, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, or do I not?
Joe says now it's 61,982 because he just shared it.
You should never feel bad for calling out BS, 0259. Well, 6182, you guys, why are you guys milking the crap out of this fake news story? Let it go already. Move on to some real news, please. Well, because it's interesting, and it involves CJ Beathard, and it involves people being idiots. And I don't know what's worse, someone who gets duped by a fake news story, or someone who can't figure out, if they don't like what they're listening to, how they change that. Why is it incumbent on me to change my show for your listening pleasure? 319-366-1600. Cubs are taking on the Brewers tonight. Big series. Talk sports.
Jake Arrieta, right, coming back. Getting the start.
First start since, September 2nd, September 4th? September 4th is the last time Arrieta started. He's got the ball in the opener tonight against the Brewers.
And he'll give the fans what they want.
H-E-E-L. He's going up against Zach Davies, who has a 3.96 ERA and 4 previous starts against the Cubs. I'm so worked up that I don't want to talk about anything else. But we've got to get a big board in here. 319-366-1600, all real news here. Midwest One Bank bringing you this big board update.
The big news in the Big Ten today comes out of Lincoln, Nebraska, where you knew something just had to be coming. They fired athletic director Sean Eichhorst after the football team started 1-2 with consecutive losses to Oregon and Northern Illinois. Nebraska Chancellor Ronnie Green cites his reasoning for his decision that, quote, our fans and our student athletes deserve leadership that drives the highest levels of competitiveness. Former Hawkeye forward Jared Utoff signed a training camp deal with the Indiana Pacers today, and because Indiana's already allocated their two-way contracts, Utoff will need to make the active NBA roster or be left to sign outright with the D-League affiliate in Fort Wayne. A reminder for anybody out there planning on going to the game at Kinnick this weekend or maybe trying to decide, the University of Iowa announced that for the second week in a row, because of expected temperatures, they'll be providing extra water stations in all four corners of the concourse, as well as a rest area for distressed fans in the southeast corner. Fans will also be allowed to bring their own empty or sealed water bottles. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders fell on the road to the Des Moines Buccaneers last night, 3-2 to move to 1-2 in the preseason. They begin a two-night home-and-home with the Waterloo Blackhawks tomorrow, first in Waterloo on Friday and here at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday. The Twins are in Detroit tonight to begin a series with the Tigers as they cling to a game-and-a-half lead over the Angels for the second American League wildcard spot. That game's scoreless in the second still. We'll join it in progress on 107.5 FM and on 106.3 FM and 1600 AM. We'll have Thursday Night Football.
Ryan says, you guys just let a couple of listeners hijack your show for a non-story. Nobody hijacked the show. I never said that C.J. Beathard was starting tonight. What I said was we were having people ask us why we weren't talking about this, and I said we're not talking about it because nobody is saying he's starting tonight, and then somebody texted in the screen grab that their friend shared on Facebook, and I thought, okay, well, here's the genesis, because a couple people mentioned it on the text line, and you got people out there that are thinking these idiots don't even know what's going on tonight because they're not talking about it. Why aren't the sports guys talking about Beathard being the starting quarterback tonight? He used to play for the Hawkeyes. Well, we're not talking about it because it's not real. It's not happening. So no, a couple listeners didn't hijack the show. Now that would be real news. If a couple listeners busted in here with black ski masks and AK-47s
don't give people
and
any ideas.
Hijacked the show. Someone on the text line said social Darwinism. You know what? But here's the problem. Darwinism is, that's weeding out the people who aren't that. No, the opposite is happening. The number of people who buy into this garbage is going up. And the number of people who can think critically on their own is going down. It's pretty simple. I don't know. Believe what you want to believe. And somebody else made the great point that this stuff spreads because it's what people want to believe. And that's exactly...
It's correct.
And that's exactly the point. Because people know that there are a lot of gullible folks out there. And so if your crazy aunt wants to believe that the chemtrails in the sky are some sort of government conspiracy to sterilize the population. So I'm making stuff up here right now. But if you want to believe that and somebody puts a story in front of you that backs up 98% of the things that you want to believe, then you automatically believe that that story is accurate and the truth, when really it's just somebody who's yanking you along for the ride. Gave them a click. That's what they wanted. They're going to get money from it. These guys are writing fake news, are making more money than I am.
I'm not going to out anybody.
The opulent life.
This happened about a year ago. I'm on my Facebook feed, and somebody I know very well, posts a story that says that hundreds of thousands of people are overdosing on marijuana per year. And the caption was, "This is awful." And I very politely responded with, "Did you read it? This is a satire piece. This is not real." Their response was, "Oh."
Every time I see a story from The Onion,
and some people still think that's real,
and someone believes it, I remind myself, these people walk among us. Getting a couple people on the text line that say that they're changing the station, that's fine. Because I have a feeling you probably have been duped by something at some point in time, and you feel as if we're making you feel dumb. Look, I don't want to sit here. My goal in all of this is not to sit here and be an elitist or to come off that I'm smarter than anybody out there, because I'm not. As a matter of fact, I know that I'm not, okay? I'm not the brightest guy in the world. But you can either sit here and go along for the ride and not say anything, or you can speak up and try to be a voice of change. And if I can get people to stop spreading crap like this, whether it's sports related or not, just stop and think, gee, what's wrong with this? September 22nd, people sharing that don't even know what day of the week it is. Think about that. Like I said, now I'm so worked up that I can't go in any different direction. I would love to talk about the Cubs and the Brewers tonight. But how do you just do the triple Lindy from where we were to get back into the sports pool again? My favorite, though, are the people that will go out of their way to tell you that they're not listening anymore. I just change the dial and move on. We'll touch base down the road again someday. We usually do. The people that say they don't listen are the ones who always know what gets said.
We have a history of all your texts. It's a 319-366-1600. Cajun Troy is listening. Thank you, Troy.
Our poll question today at kgymradio.com, what is Sean Eichhorst evaluating today? Where Iowa is or something else? Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway there on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Nebraska has parted ways with athletic director Sean Eichhorst today, and football coach Mike Riley probably isn't too far behind, although I don't think there's any way that they punt on him in the middle of the season. I think he's probably going to be coaching when Iowa plays Nebraska on Black Friday. But he's got no amount of game. They can run the table, right? And he's gone.
Yeah.
Because whoever comes in, the next AD is going to want to bring their guy in.
The interim AD is not going to fire Mike Riley. But the next full-time athletic director will. This was Sean Eichhorst's guy. For some reason, I still don't understand why anybody thought this was going to be a good idea. But then again, I don't understand pretty much any of the reasons for any of the actions that Sean Eichhorst took as the athletic director, either at Nebraska or Miami. Whoever comes in is going to want to hire their guy, and there's going to be a significant amount of pressure to hire Scott Frost. And I'm trying to foresee a situation where that doesn't happen. And I can't. You brought up Gary Patterson if the TCU AD comes to.
Chris Del Conte, is that his name?
Yeah, Gary Patterson is not leaving TCU to go to Nebraska.
Why not?
TCU has turned itself into a premier job based on the money that gets pumped into that athletic department year in and year out. And it has stepped their game up. They have legitimately gone from a group of five conference team to a power five, not necessarily powerhouse, but a good power five program because of the resources that they have. And they have created a recruiting base that I think has exceeded, sorry, BJ, Texas at this point. So I think TCU right now is the better job, and to step into a situation where he is going to have a statue made of him in Fort Worth. To step into a situation where if he's not competing for the Big Ten championship or a national championship, he's going to be on the chopping block. I don't think a coach that has that much tenure and has had that many job offers to go other places will take it at this point.
319-366-1600. Thank you, by the way, for using the text line to explain to me how I need to do my job. And that telling listeners to change the station is probably the opposite of what somebody in my job needs to be doing. That's fine. Yeah, you're right. It's a little bit out there in left field to tell people that. But I am who I am. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be somebody like, hello, duh. If you don't like if you don't like what you're hearing, why is that my fault? You know how to solve that problem. Why should I have to explain it to you? Or why should I have to talk about something else? It's just, you're upset because you're probably one of these people who got sucked in by a stupid news story. And if it wasn't about C.J. Beathard starting at quarterback, it was probably about Samuel L. Jackson wanting to buy a house in Shoeyville, Iowa. Because the people there are so nice. Good God. The text line, Adam asks if he can put Radio Hijacker on his resume now. Yes, and go ahead and put us down as references. 319-366-1600. There you go. Radio Hijacker. It wasn't somebody hijacking the show at all.
2694 isn't the goal of a radio show to get people to listen to the show. Telling listeners to change the channel so you can continue to rant is an interesting approach. Okay, well, that's an interesting approach. Okay, yeah. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Now, 2694, I'm not going to bag on you because you weighed in on a conversation back in March about Costco. And I'm not, look, I love Costco, and you do apparently as well, at least the Costco brand cashews, which you say are absolutely the best. So I'm not going to make fun of someone who also loves Costco. So I'll just leave it at that. We need to take a break. It is 6:50. If you're still listening, you know that we have that Costco bond still. I'm stopping there tomorrow after I'm at Coach's Corner. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show on the way after this.
The Cedar Rapids Parks and Recreation Department proudly supports sports for preschool through high school students, with programs and facilities serving thousands of kids each year. This fall, take in the beauty of the season at a Cedar Rapids golf course. During September, you can play from 7 a.m. until dusk, and in October from 8 a.m. until dusk. And that's at all four Cedar Rapids golf courses, Twin Pines, Ellis, Jones, and Gardner. See special fall rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
Guys, hurry into JCPenney for the men's wardrobe sale and save 50% on select suit separates, sport coats, dress pants, and more, including big and tall. Check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at JCP.com. Plus, stack on the savings and get your coupon on the JCPenney app to save an extra 15%. Hurry, and soon, that's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 922 to 924. Some exclusions apply. See store at JCP.com for details.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. For DIY tips, hot rides, cool merch, and exclusive content, head over to TeamValvoline.com. Join for free today.
I met someone. It's something you hear a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. Match is number one in first, but also in second dates too. Now I'm going to hook you up. For my listeners, go to match.com/sports for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search and connect for my listeners. This free offer is only found at match.com/sports. That's match.com/sports.
6:53, welcome back. What do we got going on tomorrow? Oh, that's right. Tomorrow is the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We're going to be in Iowa City at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. Stop on in 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, and we'll be there from 4 until 7. The Big Hour, Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com, and I will get you ready for Iowa and Penn State. And you never know what else we've got in store for you tomorrow.
Jack Dom will
Jack
join us
is still
as well.
Talking. It's still technically baseball season, even though I don't think anybody cares about baseball anymore. Even though now we're getting into the pennant race. Cubs kicking off that series against Milwaukee tonight. First of four games, Jake Arrieta on the mound against Zach Davies. This will be Davies' fifth start against the Cubs. He's got an ERA of about 4 in those previous four starts. Kyle, are we ready to go with the final Midwest One Bank Big Board update, or are you putting out a fire somewhere?
No, we're ready.
Okay. Midwest One bringing you the final Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The big news in the Big Ten today comes out of Lincoln, Nebraska, where you knew something just had to be coming. They fired athletic director Sean Eichhorst after the football team started 1-2 with consecutive losses to Oregon and Northern Illinois. Nebraska Chancellor Ronnie Green cites as reasoning for his decision that, quote, our fans and our student athletes deserve leadership that drives the highest level of competitiveness. Former Hawkeye forward Jared Utoff signed a training camp deal with the Indiana Pacers today, and because Indiana's already allocated their two-way contracts, Utoff will need to make the active NBA roster or be left to sign outright with the D-League affiliate Fort Wayne. A reminder for anybody out there planning on going to the game at Kinnick this weekend or maybe trying to decide, the University of Iowa announced that for the second week in a row, because of expected temperatures, they'll be providing extra water stations in all four corners of the concourse, as well as a rest area for distressed fans in the southeast corner. Fans will also be allowed to bring their own empty or sealed water bottles. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders fell on the road to the Des Moines Buccaneers last night, 3-2, to move to 1-2 in the preseason. They begin a two-night home-and-home with the Waterloo Blackhawks tomorrow, first in Waterloo on Friday and here at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday. The Twins are in Detroit tonight to begin a series with the Tigers as they cling to their game-and-a-half lead over the Angels for the second American League wildcard spot. That game's still tied at zero in the third, and we're going to join that one in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym. We're going to have Thursday night football with the Rams and Niners.
Question on the text line, how many games are the Cubs ahead of the Brewers at this point? 3.5. So it's a four-game series. In theory, the Cubs could leave Milwaukee in second place if the Brewers won all four games. And then it's down to the final. For the Cubs, seven games, and the Brewers would have six. They both play the Cardinals and the Reds. The Brewers have the easier time of things. But that's, this series, the Cubs just need to continue to win some games, and everything will work itself out. I think the more interesting thing at this point is Milwaukee, by virtue of some other teams winning and losing, has played itself into the wild card discussion, which is, I think, something that we had talked about a couple weeks ago, is the NL Central was going to have one team in the postseason this year, whoever won the division, and no wild card. And that now has changed. And technically, you still have St. Louis in the discussion here as well, because, look, the Cardinals still have games against the Cubs. They still have games against the Brewers.
And they're only 2.5 games out in the wild card, which I don't understand how they still even have a fighting chance at this, but they do. They got to win some games against the Cubs. That's the first things first. Can't go 1-8 against the Cubs during the regular season, and they're going to have to win probably at least 3 of 4 against the Cubs in that home series at Busch Stadium this week.
We talked a little bit about the Twins falling flat on their face against the Yankees, getting swept out of the Bronx. So they're taking on the Tigers tonight. That game is in progress right now. We're going to join it on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, right now scoreless after 2.5 innings at Comerica Park. So Twins, look, they control their own destiny too. They've got to continue winning, and unfortunately for them, unless standings change with regard to the wild card, they're probably looking at taking a trip back to Yankee Stadium. And has it been 19 years or something like that since they've won a series against finished the season with a winning record against the Yankees? And just the Yankees are that perpetual roadblock for them, and now they're staring at them in the postseason. Tomorrow, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We take the show on the road to Iowa City. Join us.
Here at Toyota of Iowa City, we're winding down the 2017 model year. Because of the fantastic deals we're making on the remaining